Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. Hi, friends. I am so excited tonight to have an event to promote and three great former Vashonites to interview about it. On the 21st of December, which is coming up really fast, at the O Space from 4 to 7, we're going to have the holiday edition of Sharing the Stage. And my three guests are here to tell you about it. Fred Strong, who was one of the team that helped found this incredible, I don't know, it's a program as much as a production. And Quinn McTighe and Kate Atwell. Did I get your names right? Am I good on that? Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, off to a good start. So I want to ask you, and I think I'll start with Fred, because I asked you, Fred, you know, to take me back, time travel, to the inspiration for this amazing project, which we should tell people just in a nutshell, that it has supported Vashon musicians, young Vashon musicians in the schools, to have a moment on stage with name brand performers and to have that experience and to have that be part of their musical training, their musical career, so that they could go on in life either to more performing or whatever they choose to do with this incredible experience behind them. And I think it's just totally inspired, but I don't know how you pulled it off. So can you take me back in time to when you were thinking about it? And sure. and why you, Fred? What was it that caught your heart about it?
Well, that's a great question to ask about, you know, kind of what really was a spark for me. But so in a nutshell, another Islander and I, his name was Rob Bordner, used to go to shows a lot in Seattle. We'd just go to clubs, listen to music together. And he and I both worked with students. He was a volunteer in many different things, and I worked in education. And so we're just around kids a lot. And it was a time, this was in 2009, when it just seemed like high school kids of Vashon were going through a tough time for a number of different reasons. And Rob just said, you know, let's put on an event. Let's bring some musicians out or something like that, people we listen to in the clubs, and just have a show. And I knew, and Rob knew, of that Vashon High School had this incredible open mic program where once a month students would come and they would perform for each other. And so I tapped into that and then just said, well, yeah, let's bring a band out to the island, but let's ask high school kids to be the opening acts. Because we knew the interest in the talent and self-motivation that existed. And that was the idea. And so from there, we knew that we needed to get a connection in the schools so that somebody who really knew kids, had relationships with students, would be able to help spread the word in the schools themselves. And Rob and I both knew Harris Levinson, and so we approached him. He didn't know who we were, really, although our kids had both been through his classes. But, you know, so he was kind of testing us out, like, are they for real? What's their motivation? Do they know what they're doing? And he came on board for that first show. And so I reached out to a band in Seattle, Visqueen, just described what our idea was. And like within 45 minutes, that band leader, Rachel Flotard, emailed back and said, love to do it.
And was that? Because that's a pretty big ask. You know, you're a professional band. You know, you've got fans and followers, and you're on a big stage. Hey, why don't you come over to our little island and work with high schoolers and stuff? What was the pitch and how did you bring them in?
Well, first of all, we pay everybody. The students are a volunteer. I mean, they're not paid, but we pay all the professionals. So we weren't just saying, hey, we have this idea. Would you do it for free? Because we're all nice people. So we are really supporting them professionally. But here's the thing about it is that, and the bands always say this after the show. They say, I wish there'd been a program like this when I was a kid in high school, because the fact is they see themselves, their former selves, in the students that they're working with, they're playing with. That's like Quinn and Kate as high school students. That's who Rachel Flotard was in high school. That's who Macklemore was in high school. That's who the Blue Scholars were. That's the life of someone who really is aspiring for that. And so putting the idea out, a lot of times musicians will respond really positively to that.
That's incredible. That is totally inspired and all. And I would assume that you would have to do a little fundraising on the side for this one, because.
Well, yes and no. We mostly just fund it through ticket sales. It's a
Really?
pass-through.
Oh my
So
gosh.
what we make in ticket sales is supports the program. We're now, after operating for many years, just as a passion project, Sharing the Stage is now a nonprofit. And so our goal is to build out really a fundraising structure and grow the program ultimately in lots of different ways that I could talk about later. But
Yeah, there's so many things, but I want to turn to Quinn and Kate for a few minutes and find out. Take me back in time. How did you first find out about this, and were you making music, and how did it change your life?
yeah,
Qu
it's yeah, I can jump in. I wasn't sure who should go
yeah,
first,
no,
but
you go, Quinn. Thanks.
okay. Yeah, I know my first show with Sharing the Stage was I think also at the O Space with the Physics. And I had just really wanted to start a band. I had kind of been doing music in middle school. Kate knows I was like that annoying kid that brought his ukulele to school and would just play it in between classes. And so I was really into music, and I had done so many covers just playing music at home with my family, and sometimes I had done one of the sharing or one of the open mics as well. And I really wanted to do original music and start a group and start to actually kind of make my own music with people. So we put together a group and played at that Sharing the Stage, and it was just like nothing I had ever done before. I think having like my own time slot with my band to do multiple songs and kind of like get to own the stage for just a little bit of time was huge. And then getting to open for an act that was like legit coming from off island felt huge as well. And then yeah, just kept doing sharing the stage shows throughout time. I feel like I just learned so much about like show etiquette, and also just about my craft. Like I feel like I got better at guitar, I got better at drums, I got way better at singing for sure, and just like crafting a stage presence as well. So it really shaped kind of just who I am as a musician
That's
to
so
this day.
wonderful. How old were you when you did your first
I was a freshman. I would have been, how old are people when they're freshmen? 15?
No, younger.
14,
Yeah,
15,
14 and
14,
something like
15.
that. And then did you continue through high school? Did you go beyond that, or is it just high school?
I ended up being in a separate group in college called Rainboy, which was lots of fun, a very college rocky kind of group. And then post after the 2020, 2021 pandemic, I was in kind of a metal group called Spliff Bishop as well. We did
Sweet.
like a doom sludge thing
Yeah.
for a few years.
And I see drums in the background. You still making music? Yeah.
Yeah.
And is it what you do for a living, or are you finding a way to make your living so that you can do your music, you know?
Yeah. I'm a paralegal. I'm in between bands right now, so we'll see. But I do, dabble on my Pro Tools and stuff always.
Fabulous. Oh, that's so great. Thank you. And Kate, take me back. Did you start as a freshman as well?
Yeah. I started as a freshman. Well, same show. I started playing guitar when I was 10, and then kind of slowly started to sing with it, which like really kind of motivated me. And I was doing covers. Like I remember, I think Quinn, you played at the first open mic, I think, at the high school. Like the high school had this incredible open mic scene, and it was just like so incredible to be a part of that, like as a freshman. And so that kind of got me in. But at that point, I did a cover of Wonderwall for my first open mic, and and that was like really exciting. But still, originals were something I'd like maybe written lyrics for, but I'd never, it'd only been like a verse. And so the challenge of sharing the stage, one, it was really exciting because you got to like really get in with upperclassmen too, and that was like so motivating, I think. Because there was just some really creative, cool people, and just being awkward in high school, that was such a great outlet in general to kind of connect with all of these people on music. But then the challenge of writing an original song and having this timeline and this structure, because I need deadlines, and a little discipline to do anything. And sharing the stage provided that for me. I don't know if I would have ever really kind of written a song on my own and like performed it like that. I mean, it's almost like in college you have to do your senior research, and it's like, whoa, I can actually write a real research paper because you have these teachers kind of, forcing you to do it and guiding you. And sharing the stage is that for music. And it provides you that structure and that discipline and this etiquette. And that's incredible. I remember after writing my first song, which I don't remember super well now, but thinking like that was so that was so hard. I don't know if I can ever do that again. But being so proud of myself. But then next year, sharing the stage came around, and I did it again with a friend. I did it with my friend Mallory Bream. We wrote songs together the first 2 years, and I continue to write songs now. I have tons of songs, and I really, for me, I'm not like a daily journaler, but to look back on my lyrics and my songs, is just, I think, for me, something really important for my whole life. To just it kind of marks my life and where I'm at.
I
So
love
that's
that.
a huge gift to me.
Oh, incredible. I see the guitar behind you on the wall. You're making music and singing now. Is it what you do for a living, or is it an adjunct?
No. And it's on and off the shelf. Like I said, I need a little discipline to make anything happen. So sometimes I'm doing it, and then sometimes I'm dabbling. But I'm writing, and I have lots of songs now that I've written, and I do periods where I perform them, and then I don't. So yeah.
What I really love, just in the few minutes we were talking about the project, is its many layered benefit. Because the first thing I hear is just plain old musicians need places to perform, and especially at a certain early stage in your career, to be able to get out there and have the deadline and know the audience is coming and have the experience of being before an audience, really, however you are, that's really cool. And there are not enough venues to enter in. And then the place where, as musicians, as emerging musicians, and young ones, to have the camaraderie and the peer coaching and the opportunity to learn from other musicians, and then to have the experience of being with more senior musicians, in terms of expanding your musical upbringing. What an incredible experience! And then the third that I'm hearing, and there are probably more, but it also feels like at a very important time of life, you get this kind of soul strengthening exercise where you get to feel who you are, and you get to be applauded for who you are. At a time, it's been a long time since I was in high school, but it isn't always easy. And so to have a community of support and appreciation to bring out your best, I mean, to me, that sounds golden. Is it like that for you? Am I on point? Does that sound right?
Oh my gosh, yes. This is Brett again, and I would say what you've just articulated is really, well, first of all, the fact that you're talking about layers, absolutely right. There are just so many dimensions to this. and to the experience for students and for everyone involved. But speaking to the deeper layers, it really, yes, it's about music, it's about performance, it's about mentorship, it's about building a community. Just kind of going deeper, though, it really is about the value of just seeing somebody, encouraging them, appreciating them for what they're doing right now, and giving them a place to express themselves. And that is a very deeply it's a very deep goal of the program, and it exists. I mean, that's what happens, but that is really an ultimate value. It's shaping that identity at a really important point, just by seeing somebody acknowledging who they are and what they're doing and what they're striving for.
I love
Yeah.
that. Quinn, you were
I
going to say
think
something?
part of it really is just the confidence that the program like gave, me personally and also us as a band. I think that you start out, I think everyone kind of started out doing like one open mic and was just gonna like see how it went. And if it was like a horrible disaster, they were probably just gonna like never touch music again, right? And that was the plan. And so I remember being super nervous and like feeling good about how it went and just having like the confidence to be like, I'm gonna do Sharing the Stage. That's the next step. Like that's what people do. And leaving that first experience feeling like we are a legit band. Like we're legit musicians. It doesn't matter that we're kids. Like we are capable of more than we thought. And I feel like I accomplished so much in high school, even just as a musician, because I had the confidence that I got from sharing the stage to really assert myself as someone with a serious band, someone who's trying to make serious music. I ended up getting to record too, which I don't know if I would have had the confidence to do that if I hadn't done sharing the stage. And I definitely think that Mr. Levinson was like a huge part of that. I think his kind of part of his philosophy was giving confidence to students and people in the program.
I understand that the holiday edition on the 21st of December is also a tribute to Harris Levinson. And oh my God, I did not know him, but I'd heard of him, and I wanted to cry just reading that obituary. He sounded like such a profoundly good man. Do you have any, how did he shape you, or how did he, and what is this, just sort of like you're going to tip the hat to Harris, or is there some other piece in the event that will be focused on him?
I'll just start by saying it'll be more than just the tip of the hat. It really is a combination because it is having students perform. That's what he would want. And so the performances, the sharing, the making music, there are a lot of people performing solo. There are a lot of people who are coming together performing as duos who haven't performed together for a long time. There's a couple bands, so it will be a celebration for sure because that's what he would like. But there are going to be a lot of heartfelt. All the musicians will be invited to speak. It's got to be brief and within a time slot because otherwise it'll be a 5-hour show. But Kate and Quinn are going to lead off with some remarks and. Kate and Quinn, maybe you could talk about kind of what you'll be saying at the outset, because that'll give Sally an idea of Mr. Levinson's influence in the classroom and how that kind of tied a lot of things together.
Yeah, you can go first if you
Okay.
want.
Let's see. It's hard to let's see. To summarize it all, I think, like Fred said, it doesn't really need, like, just to have the performance itself is more than a tipping of the hat, because I think it just completely embodies like Harris and what he stood for, and like what he created, what he created at the high school. To me, he represents kind of, let's see, empowering youth to really kind of seek beyond boundaries, to question things, to kind of really express themselves, and Yeah, question. He's really about kind of letting kids be grown-ups and adults and say what they want to say and yeah, push outside the boundaries, but in a really responsible and respectful way too. He really kind of created that structure in the classroom, and I think that that's a lot of what sharing the stage is about. It gives voices to students, and so to see like all of these students kind of continue to do that, and he did, you know, he did that in so many ways. He did that with music. He did that with Spanish, with language, with what international, what was the other international
Amnesty International.
Amnesty International. Like there was so many ways he did that, but it all kind of still represents that same kind of core of Levy in the classroom. And yeah, he like I just keep looking back and seeing like kind of how foundational he was for me. Like I kind of stumbled into Spanish and it's not like I was really passionate about it or anything. But his classroom is just so engaging, and I think that he drove me. Yeah, I was kind of a B, kind of whatever student, but I really wanted to work hard in his classroom. And so I stuck with it, and you know, I'm still I took Spanish in college and I still speak Spanish, not as well as Quinn, but I it's still part of my life, and so that's, you know,
That's fantastic.
kind of the same as sharing the stage. You just want to stick with it.
Quinn, how about you? Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Kate.
I mean, Mr. Levinson, and I'll just always call him Mr. Levinson because that's just who he is to me, and kind of an eternal teacher to me. But he just made you want to do things. Like, he had such an energy that, like, whatever he was trying to get you into and like trying to get you animated about, it was so easy for him to just get you like, I'm super down, I'm super excited, like, I want to do this show, I want to speak Spanish, I want to like learn about this history. Like, he was just such a energetic and engaging person. And I mean, I feel like I can't even count the number of ways that he influenced me as a person. I loved his class. I'm Latino on my mom's side, but I didn't grow up speaking Spanish, and so actually I learned Spanish from him, and I have a connection to my culture now that I wouldn't have had without him. And I speak Spanish for work now as well, so it's been for my employment extremely necessary. He wrote my college like letters, you know, all these
That
very,
is so
very
great. That is so great.
involved things. But
Yeah.
he's just someone that once unfortunately he did pass, and I was hearing everyone's stories of their connections with him, I just realized that my experience of just feeling so much connection and gratefulness for him was very much shared by the community. So,
If I understand right, the December show, it doesn't bring in a band from Off Island because you have these fantastic alumni who are performers themselves and they're coming back to play. What
yeah.
kind of relations, because now that you've been going since 2010, is that right? So
Correct.
you have quite a track record and probably a lot of folks who have passed through the program. Do they weave back in, and are the alumni support to the kids as in high school as well? Do you weave things together?
We stay in touch with as many alumni as possible, and you know, there's some that we don't hear from these days, and but they're like always kind of try to stay connected, often on social media. That's a way, but each year there are different alumni who surface to play that particular show in December, and then the next year they may not be able to. Like, there's a seven-piece jazz band in Seattle that has played the last couple shows, but they just couldn't make it. You know, they weren't going to be together to come out to play this show. So, you know, that happens, you know, back and forth. But that we're able to stay in touch with a lot of folks.
And Kate, what's your how do you feel about it as an alumna? Are you do you feel connect I mean, I'm sure it's great to go back and play. Do you want to have some relationship with the kids you're going through now, or how does that work?
Yeah, I find it's I mean, for me it's like the same kids, you know, a lot of some of the same crucial people come back, and so it's kind of like that high school reunion that you kind of actually like you're looking forward to. And so I have like people that when I go back I get to see every year, and you know, one's in New York, one's in LA, and this and that, and someone's up in Bellingham, and it's so fun to see them. And some are playing music, some are in a band, some have, you know, other jobs, but it's just such a cool connection. And then you continue to see these new bands form and these young, you know, students out of high school, and whoa, like it's kind of mind-blowing to see this new talent that's forming. It's that's really special to have those connections. And it feels Fred is like he creates this environment that is like so warm and inviting, and we're all like flaky in our own worlds, and he just like hurts us in the most gentle way. And so you never feel like you're there, and you just feel like, you know, he's happy to have you, everyone's happy to be there, and it just creates this really special environment. So
Sounds it's
It's
fabulous.
date.
Yeah.
Very true.
So the December performance is the alumni, and then you give one or two other performances. How many others during the year?
Right now, we usually do two others. Sometimes we get three in during the year. Part of the real challenge is kind of finding these spots that work for high school student schedules. Like, I was able to do a show in the fall this year, but pretty much you can't count on seniors then because they're all doing working towards their college applications or various portfolios or auditions or whatever things they're involved with. So you have to have younger people for that one. And then, you know, people are really involved in so many different things. Just to find a date that works for enough people can be a challenge too. But again, I was just talking about how, you know, we have certain goals as a nonprofit, and one of those is just to have more shows and more variety around the region, really, to because it's a great experience that, you know, more people should have the opportunity to have. So we'd like to be able to replicate ourselves, you know, more
Yeah.
widely.
No, and I was also thinking that it's an amazing model. I'm sure people knock on your door and say, hey, give us the secret sauce, because you've developed something that's really cool and begs to be duplicated in other parts of the country or the parts of the region.
Yeah, well, I mean, just in a nutshell on this too, we have alumni around the country. So, like, a thought that I have is like, okay, you know, so Graham, you're in New York. You want to put together a show in New York, or Tanner, you're in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Do you want to put together a show? Or, you know, we've got folks down in LA who may at some point, you know, be interested in doing that, and we could facilitate that. So it's a pretty simple model, actually, but takes the right people who are doing it for the right reason.
Well, you say simple model, but I could imagine Fred to be close to a full-time job for you. Are you still working as an educator on the side, or while you're doing this? Or...
Yeah, I am. I've been at Seattle Academy over on Capitol Hill since 1990, and still do that. But yeah, I mean, it could be a full-time job. There's a lot to do, so
Do you have a sense of how it's going to live on if and when you ever decide to retire?
Yeah, well, again, that's part of the reason for really formalizing it as an organization, so that it's not just something that when I'm not doing it anymore, it's done. You know, I really like to see it, to have others involved and, you know, have ownership and experience the pleasure of doing it. There's tremendous joy.
Well, it just sounds totally inspired, and just to my listeners here don't get to see Kate and Quinn's face, but I do, you know, and I can feel like their commitment and the joy that they've taken from it is real, because you can't fake that smile. And so we want to get everybody there on the 21st at O Space. Do people need to get tickets in advance or at the door, or how's that work?
Absolutely. Well, both in advance and at the door, but ticket sales are how we pay for show expenses. I don't make any money off this. It's all the money goes back into, paying the staff. And once we paid show expenses for the alumni show, then I pay the performers out of that, income that comes in from tickets. So definitely it's a great cause. And yeah, it's going to be an amazing show.
It sounds fantastic. And Kate and Quinn, you're both playing?
That's right.
Hey, Quinn's bringing his old high school band back.
Oh
I
no, way to
know. Old high
go.
school band.
From all across the country.
I think we're going to bring some of our we still have some CDs that we never sold in high school. So maybe
Really?
I'll bring the box.
But you
Yeah.
have to call them secret collector items. Don't say these are my old CDs and never sold. You have to say these are the last existing CDs for the one moment in time, and they're worth a lot,
We'll bring some
right?
silver Sharpies to sign too.
I need a
There
t-shirt.
definitely will be a merch table for
Yeah,
you.
merch table.
Perfect.
And Kate, are you going solo, or are you going to be singing with the woman that you referred to?
No, I'm not singing with her. She's coming. She's in LA right now, but I'm singing with a guy that I played with a lot in COVID, over and yeah, with the crew coach too, Simon Grant's he's a bass and guitar player, and then I played with Richard
Oh,
Parks, and we formed
fantastic.
a band during COVID.
And Sally, can I scroll back? I know we're out of, this will be out of sequence, but
No, sure.
one of the things I wanted to be sure and mention way back, even before we started recording, you were talking about, amazing musicians who are on the island. Well, one of the things we, Kate and Quinn both touched on or talked about, but I didn't really explain the origin of this is the writing their own songs. So there's it's not a cover band situation where kids are just coming in and playing covers that others have written. And the way that happened is that the very first show, Rob and Harris and I decided, hey, let's have here's the structure. We have an audition and we'll have two rehearsals that would the groups would come to. And that's where we would bring in a professional musician. And since the bands were coming in from off island, that wasn't going to work. So we, so I just thought, well, let's ask Ian Moore.
Oh,
And
wow.
so Ian doesn't know us, but we knew of him. But I just reached out to Ian and explained the idea. And he said yes pretty quickly. So we show up and so we start a rehearsal and just ask kids to play a song or two. And they're playing covers, which is would be kind of natural. And Ian said, hey, wait a minute. This is really an opportunity for you to express your own voice, for you to develop your voice. And that's what he talked about. It's like your songwriting voice. And that never would have occurred to Harris and Rob and me. We were just like, oh yeah. But of course, that was the first thing that Ian thought of. And so that he just kind of laid that down and we established that as a basic parameter. And ever since we've done that, it's always been about the originals. And so that's added that dimension that kind of Kate spoke to, that challenge that Harris brought as a teacher as well, setting a high bar, setting that expectation. This is challenging, it's hard work, but it really gets to the heart of the matter of developing a voice rather than just, being on a stage
Oh,
playing,
it's a
period.
whole nother dimension. It's a whole nother dimension. And the other thing that I really appreciate in the project is going out beyond music. I think to really nurture someone on the creative path, you have to provide opportunities and challenges, but also, how do I say it, be there to. I don't even know how to say it. To support people to go a little bit beyond where they can go,
Yeah, absolutely.
and to
Yeah.
keep the challenges alive with enough safety that you can screw up some. You know, you can make mistakes, you can try on stuff, you can experiment with your new song, and know that it's fine and you have the experience. To me, that is foundational to the creative process, to really have places to experiment, to discover, possibly to fail, although I doubt anybody fails on stage, but to, you know, go through the initiation that really allows you to become the performer that you're going to be. So, Jim, thank you for bringing that up because it's, you know, an exceptional piece and really important.
I actually remember, if I may too, I think it was like maybe the third show that we did as a band. And it was the first rehearsal. And we figured we were veterans at this and we could do no wrong. And we did a couple songs, and I remember Mr. Levinson saying, "Yeah, I love that first song. That second song was not your best work." And I remember
That's classic.
I needed that. I needed that like accountability to actually be like, "All right, yeah, I do actually have to really lock in and take this seriously, even though like I think I got it all figured out." So
Well,
it was always nice to have that little push.
every creative does, and it's such a tender balance to be able to say that thing, like second one didn't work, in the context of supporting you 100%, so that you feel like you got somebody has your back, and they can, but they're going to talk to you in a way that's really going to have you grow. And really, whether you're an artist, a writer, musician, we need that. We need that, and especially at the tender age of 14, you know? So, well, thank you. Thank you for adding that in. Again, December 21st is going to be fantastic. And thank you for being a part of such an inspired piece of work.
Thanks,
Thanks,
Sally.
Jim.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.